From the headquarters of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut, this is ARRL, The Doctor Is In, a bi-weekly podcast addressing common and some not-so-common technical issues in amateur radio. This podcast is brought to you by DX Engineering, helping you shrink the globe. See their website at www.dxengineering.com. And now, here's your host, QST Editor-in-Chief Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and the Doctor himself, QST Contributing Editor Joel Hallis, W1ZR.
Hello, I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY.
And I'm Joel Hallis, W1ZR.
It's summertime, Joel, and the living is easy.
Well, some days more than others.
Yeah. People are taking off to vacation spots, hotels, motels, who knows. And hams have a tendency, when they're not at the beach or wherever they happen to be, to operate from these vacation spots. I've done that on occasion from the Rhode Island shore where we vacation. There's a hotel right there on the beach. And I've gone out on the balcony and just toss a wire out and operate HF from up there. I use a counterpoise and so on. But let's talk about vacation operating in general. What do you say?
Okay, it's something I do too. I have done for many years, and we often rent a place in Maine or someplace else. And or sometimes we take rooms in a B&B for a few days if we want to look at a particular area. And I've often operated from that environment. And it's very good in our household because I tend to wake up early, and Nancy tends to wake up later. I can do that while she's snoozing, and then she's happily not being disturbed, and I get to do that for a while. So we've done it many times, and antennas are often the biggest challenge. I mean,
yes, they are.
Radios now are so small and light. Your regular home station radio you can often take, or a small compact portable will work well, or QRP rig. Of course, QRP is kind of a double header disadvantage on a trip because QRP works best with a good antenna because you're giving up typically a fair amount of power.
That's right.
And so if you have a low-performing antenna, as we often have to put up with, then you got kind of a double whammy. But it doesn't mean it can't be done. It just means you may have to make more calls to make a contact.
Or use digital modes.
Or use digital modes.
Yes.
And as I say, CW works well for me, and CW works well for situations in which you have less than optimum antennas also. But anyway, there are a couple choices, and what I often do is I just carry in my radio bag a couple of 50-foot pieces of insulated hookup wire. Those can be configured into lots of different things. They can be to two-wire center-fed dipole just out of the back of the radio, for example. So no counterpoise needed. You just do that. And if you have a tuner, you can probably make it work on multiple bands. If you don't want the antenna to be right at the back of the radio, you can just extend the wire out with the two wires in parallel, fairly closely spaced, out to a window or something, and then spread them from there. And the close together part acts like a transmission line of some impedance, but if you have a tuner, you don't really care.
That's
and,
true.
And it can deal with it. And I've done both of those things. I've also, you know, out of window is good, or over the balcony is good. In the building can work, but it has a lot of problems. I've had some interesting ones with just 100 watts and an indoor antenna in a bedroom at a place we were staying. I noticed a strange odor and saw smoke emanating from the hotel-supplied hairdryer in the bathroom.
From the hairdryer?
Yeah. The cable apparently was picking up RF and wiped out the system. You know, it was turned off. I don't think it was even plugged in. And it was just running 100 watts on this little antenna. I had no idea it was so effective, at least short-range communication of a different sort. So I was converting to smoke signals.
How did it get into the hairdryer?
Well, it just got picked up on the wires, and it had some kind of circuitry in there that must have objected to the RF and acted accordingly.
Only you can do this.
And I have not ever succeeded in duplicating it. I haven't tried, but that's one of the reasons you got to be careful about what you do in the building, particularly if there are others around and you have other things. Most buildings have fire alarm systems and other kinds of intrusion systems, and you know, all you need to do is set that off a few times, and you'll find your baggage out in the parking lot. Real quick. So being outside probably is less likely to have that kind of a problem, although it's not a guarantee. And it's certainly safer and easier to do. So the coils of wire can be a center fan antenna, or you can just throw it out the window as you did and have some kind of a counterpoise. And that's often an issue because one of the things is at home, you know what your plumbing is like, you know what your electrical wiring is like,
yes,
and you can take advantage of that. So you can use, you know, hook a wire to the screw on an outlet plate, and if the house is properly wired, that will go to the electrical box, which will then go to the green wire, which goes to the ground someplace, or if you have a radiator or some other kind of heating system and you have a big clip lead with you, you can clamp onto a pipe. And if you know that it's copper plumbing all the way back, probably have a pretty good counterpoise. But if it in the wall someplace changes over to PVC, that won't work nearly as well. So it's kind of a catch-as-catch-can situation. But the other thing you can do is just take one of those wires that you brought and unroll it under a rug and call that your counterpoise or do something else with it. So you need to think of both sides of that. And many people have described my signals as being comparable to a mobile station, which I guess is not too surprising.
No, not at all. In fact, what would prevent you from taking a mobile antenna? Let's say you do have a balcony or you've got a substantial windowsill, maybe, that you can access. I'm thinking hotels in this case. What would stop you from taking a mobile antenna and just putting it out there and again with some sort of counterpoise or what have you?
Well, you can certainly do that. You know, some of them are a little heavier than others and might be a little tricky to make it stay put without drilling large holes in the windowsill or something. MFJ, for example, we reviewed it many years ago, a clamp-on antenna designed for exactly that purpose.
And it was adjustable,
and it has a coil you can adjust. You can actually, if you're lucky, tune it to match without an antenna tuner, although you'd probably be happier if you had one there. And of course, if you have a mobile rig in your car with an antenna on it and your car is parked close enough to where you're staying, you can run a cable from your antenna to your room. Just have to make sure you're not someplace where somebody will trip over. And you also have to make sure you remember to disconnect it before you leave in the morning. But that can be useful. Similarly, we've stayed places where the room had a little patio with a door going outside and, you know, some chairs or something. There are a number of antennas that can be used in that environment. Some people use a mobile antenna on a tripod stand and have just radials that they run out, use that, and that could just sit out next to your patio, and when you're not using it, you just bring it back inside so people don't worry that you're working for some foreign government. And there's some other ones. There's an antenna that I reviewed in QST was the Transworld Adventurer that I was quite impressed with. It's actually a loaded vertical dipole, but it's relatively short. It has sort of like a T going on the upside and a T on the downside. It's fed from the center, and they had available different kinds of mounting stands you could put it on. And the whole thing came apart and goes into something about the size of a golf bag. So you could get to your destination and put that out adjacent to your patio if you have one. And then when you're not using it, you fold it up and bring it in. So that's another option. And I was impressed with how well that worked. The Transworld company itself is no longer doing that, but DX Engineering happens to, I don't know if they're building it or contracted with somebody to make it, but they're offering that line of antennas.
I've seen that, yeah.
And they have both manual ones and automatic or remotely tuned ones. So it's quite an effective antenna for its size and the amount of space it takes up. So it can fit in your trunk and go with you easily, and it ends up being an electrical full-size vertical dipole on 17, 15, 12, and 10, I think. I think they also have one that works on 40 and up or whatever. There are a number of different combinations.
Too bad you can't put a Yagi up on the roof of the hotel.
Well, I'm sure you could. I don't know if you'd be invited back.
Now, aren't there some hotels that are cooperative with hams that will allow you to put, maybe not a Yagi, but I mean something up on the roof?
I think that's true. I think particularly in places that are popular DX locations, such as the Caribbean or some other countries where people go there for the expeditions frequently, and the hotels want to cause that to happen because it's good for them and so forth. So, and some places, if you look carefully in various advertising venues, you may find people who have vacation cottages with radio stations in them. So you go there and you've got a Yagi all together and perhaps even the radio equipment. So you just have to show up with your smile and get on the air, which raises another thing you can do without any problems with antennas, is if you reviewed some time back a remote operation arrangement that you do over the internet with someone that has stations all over the world or all over the country. I'm not sure how far afield they go, but if you have your PC with you, and who doesn't, you can communicate remotely if you have a good IP connection. So that's another possibility. Now, we've been talking HF, which of course is I find most interesting to do, but a lot of people like VHF, and that's really much simpler. You're generally running somewhat less power. The antennas are smaller, and if you want to check into the local repeaters, which is kind of fun, you can find out about restaurants and movies and things. A small mag mount antenna. I've used a 2 meter mag mount. Just stick it on the wood stove in the room you're sitting in, or on the refrigerator, or a file cabinet, or the front of the dishwasher or almost anything mm-hmm. that it'll stick to. It's good to do it on the wood stove when it's not doesn't have a fire in it. But you'll probably be able to get into, you know, depending on the terrain, you'll probably be able to get into some local repeaters with just something like that.
And not only that, but don't forget satellite operating. That's an option.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with those collapsible, well, like the arrow antennas
exactly.
or the elk antennas.
Sure.
I mean, you walk outside your cabin or your hotel room and just aim it at the sky when the satellite's coming over. You can have a lot of fun with that.
Sure, you could do that. And, oh, by the way, I've known people who have mobile rigs in their cars to just, while the rest of their family's watching something you don't want to watch on television, you go out in the parking lot and you turn on your car and talk on the radio. Now, you have a couple of cautions about that. Not asphyxiating yourself with carbon
yes.
monoxide is one, and the other is not running your battery down. And those are kind of mutually exclusive problems, but you have to kind of play it a little bit by ear and make sure you can deal with it. Having a separate battery is a good solution. You can play radio until the battery runs down, and then the next time you take the car out, you charge it up.
Now, what about power? I mean, in a hotel room, could you just bring a small switching power supply?
That's what I do. That's what I do, yeah. That works
okay.
very well. These little fire exit batteries, little small lead acid cells that are
oh,
in
yeah,
all of
right.
those things are also the same ones that are used in UPS power systems for computers. Fairly small, fairly light, but they'll run a radio for hours, depending on the current drain and the style of operation. And then you just have to be able to charge it up. So that makes it nice if you want to operate on a picnic table out in the yard. You don't want to do it in the hotel room. You just carry that out there, and it's not that much heavier than a power supply. Or certainly not that much bigger. It's not probably not bigger than a power supply.
And when you mentioned operating outside, again, we're thinking HF here, that made me think of something else. Loop antennas. You know, they're also very portable. You could take one of those outside.
That is true. I've never really gotten into using loops, but they certainly have a lot of advantages. They have a number of disadvantages, too. One of them is they tend to be very narrowly tuned, so you have to have an arrangement by which you can easily adjust them.
Yes.
There are various ways to do that. They also have a fairly strong magnetic field close by. So if you have a loop, and especially if there are other people around, or even yourself, if you don't want to ruin your body, good to run power, low power, 5 watts, 10 watts, whatever, and be some distance from the loop while you're operating, which can be an issue with one that has to be tuned manually at the loop. And you have to
yes.
running back and forth or have a very long fishing pole with a knob on the end or something that you can adjust it with. So, you know, there are some challenges, but loops can work well from a small area if you have taken into account all these issues. So there's no reason not to do that.
Well, how about if we take a break?
Why not? Why don't we take a break?
We'll take a break and hear from DX Engineering, and we'll be right back.
Our fellow hams have told us how much they love receiving the DX Engineering catalog. It's 132 pages of amateur radio heaven, packed with competitively priced equipment. You'll find everything from multiband Yagis to whip antennas, the latest bass transceivers to mobile radios, and every accessory under the sun. But the catalog only represents a small part of what DX Engineering offers. When you visit dxengineering.com, you'll find thousands of items from trusted names like ICOM, Yaesu, Kenwood, and Elinco. There's world-famous antennas from OptiBeam, E-Antennas, and M-Squared, Rhone and American Towers, plus many more. And shop a wide selection of innovative DX Engineering brand products. They're designed and manufactured by our team of amateur radio enthusiasts for hams just like you. Plus, you get the fastest shipping in the ham universe, and shipping is free on most orders over $99. Experience ham radio heaven at dxengineering.com. That's dxengineering.com.
And we're back. But before I give you the question, Joel, you have an answer, actually.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I get
this
a lot
is
of
questions. Like Karnak the Magnificent.
Exactly, you know? Right. Sometimes I get a lot of questions by email, usually, and sometimes in other ways. And every now and then I get an answer. And I got one that was of interest to me that came in from Joe, VO1BQ. And in the May 24th podcast, we talked about one of the Q&As talked about improving CW receiving speed. And I mentioned writing the letter E in a script fashion rather than a block letter because of the number of strokes that the block took and how long it took to do that compared to how short the E was. And Joe said he was one of the Navy radiomen that I talked about when talking about very good operators who could receive a whole bunch at a time and store it in their heads. But he said that occasionally they copied on paper for short messages rather than using the typewriter or mill. And he said one of his supervisors told him while copying by pen and paper, instead of doing a script E, just make a dot for the E. Mm. And that's so much faster. And, you know, especially multiple E's, you get a couple of E's in a row and you can easily end up way behind on what you're listening to because the letters, if you write them out, take so much longer than the letter exists on the in your ears. So just make a dot.
Okay, good point. Well, now I'll throw the question at you.
Okay.
Okay. This one is from Jack, KR6CD, and he's asking, your May 10th, 2018 podcast about loss in antenna systems prompted a question in my mind. You attributed the loss in transmission line to the resistance of the center conductor. This seems at odds with the fact that the loss a foam twin lead used for TV has less loss than RG59, yet the conductors in the twin lead seem to be thinner than the center conductor of the coax.
Very good observation, Jack. And the key thing is that when we're talking about that, we were talking about 50-ohm systems and comparing different 50-ohm transmission line systems with different sizes of wire. Now, once we get into a different impedance, we're talking about a slightly different problem. The 300-ohm twin lead is not designed to drive a 50-ohm load. It's designed to drive a 300-ohm load. So even though the resistance in the wire is higher, the load resistance is also higher. And therefore, the voltage divider that's formed by the wire resistance as a series element and the load resistance as a shunt that gets the resulting power has much less attenuation. So the voltage divider for the twin lead has a load with a resistance 6 times as high as that of 50-ohm coax or 4 times that of 75-ohm RG59. And if you think about a voltage divider, transmission through a voltage divider is the load resistance divided by the series resistance plus the load resistance. Series resistance is higher, and even more so since you don't have just a single interconductor, but you have two thin conductors, the load resistance is 4 times higher, so the twin lead ends up with less loss than 75-ohm coax driving a 75-ohm load.
Okay.
So that's the story. So you have to look at the whole picture.
Oh, that makes sense. Thank you, Joel.
My pleasure.
ARRL, The Doctor Is In, is brought to you by DX Engineering, helping you shrink the globe. See their website at www.dxengineering.com. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at www.arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment for the doctor, send an email to doctor@arrl.org. Background music is courtesy of Ben Sound at www.bensound.com. This program is provided under the copyright of the ARRL. Until next time, I'm QST Managing Editor Becky Schoenfeld, W1BXY 73, and thanks for listening.